You are familiar, I'm certain, with a mission statement. A lot of companies will publish their mission statement, which is their goal or their aim, what they hope to accomplish as a business. For instance, Coca-Cola's mission statement is simply to refresh the world. Google's mission statement is to connect people to information. AT&T's mission statement is to keep you on hold. Companies publish their mission statements. Aren't you glad that we don't have to search very far to find Jesus' mission statement? His purpose for coming. There are several times where he gives a, I did not come for this, but for that. You remember he said in John 6, I did not come to do my will, but the will of my Father who is in heaven. When they complained and murmured that he was going to the house of Zacchaeus, a sinner, they said. He said, I came to seek and to save the lost. I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And in Mark's Gospel, the 10th chapter, well, we'll find our study this morning. It was there that Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. And to give his life a ransom for many. That's a mission statement that tells you his purpose and aim, his goal for coming to the earth. Not to be served, though he had the right, but to serve and to perform the greatest act of service ever given, to give his life a ransom for many. Would you turn there in Mark chapter 10? Mark's Gospel, the 10th chapter. We find two of our apostles here, and perhaps an indication as to how they earned their nickname. Mark chapter 10, verse 35. And James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, came up to him, saying to him, Teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask of you. And Jesus wisely responded, What do you want me to do for you? You ever had anybody ask you, say, I need a favor? And we say, Sure, whatever, name it. Teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask of you. Well, tell me what it is first. And here was their request. Give to us that we may sit in your glory, one on your right and one on your left. They had heard Jesus preaching about a kingdom. And that he would reign as king. And so their request was, let us, Lord, be on your right and on your left. Give us positions of authority and power and influence and prominence. Let us sit right with you next to the king. Jesus said, You do not know what you are asking for. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said to him, We are able. Jesus said to them, The cup that I drink, you shall drink, and you shall be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. But to sit on my right or on my left, that is not mine to give, but it is for those to whom it has been prepared. And hearing this, the ten began to feel indignant with James and John, probably because they beat him to the punch. They wanted those same seats. And calling them to himself, Jesus said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them, but it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." I had a brother share with me an illustration years ago that has brought this passage into such clear focus for me. You going to be served, or are you going to serve? He said those are the options in your life, and here's how you will illustrate that. He said a bib is for someone who wants to be served. Bring this to me. Give this to me. But he said an apron is for the servant, the one who will spend his life serving others. So the question I have for you this morning, who will follow Jesus serving him today? Are you going to wear a bib? Or are you going to wear an apron? Which was the mission statement of our master? He chose to serve. If you're going to serve Jesus and follow him in his mission of service, you need to understand, first of all, that service is for volunteers. Nobody's going to force you to be a servant. You're going to have to choose. That's what our brother read for us from Philippians 2. That's what Jesus did. Paul said he emptied himself. He humbled himself. What did Jesus say in the great shepherd passage of John chapter 10? He said, "I lay my life down of my own initiative. Nobody takes it from me." Nobody forced him to do that. "I lay down my life that I may take it up again." That's what a servant does. Look again to verse 43, where Jesus said, "Whoever wishes to become great shall be your servant." Verse 44, "And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all." It's something you have to want to be. Don't you love to go to Chick-fil-A? Because what are they going to say to you? No matter what you say, "My pleasure." Because we've all been at a restaurant. Somebody work here, Chick-fil-A? Okay. All right, stay with me. And we've all been to a restaurant where it was obvious the server didn't like their job. Maybe they didn't have another job. Maybe they're working multiple jobs. But they didn't set out to be a servant. And you're almost afraid to ask for anything. But not at Chick-fil-A. "My pleasure." You could say, "Thank you for being annoying today." They'd say, "My pleasure." Try that next time. But that gets our attention. "My pleasure." Would people say that it is your pleasure to serve God? That it's what you wish to do. You want to. You volunteered for this. You knew it would be hard, but you put on your apron to be like your master. It's what he demands. "If any man wishes to come after me, to follow me. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It has to be something you want. We see this concept in giving on the Lord's Day from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, where he talks about the heart of the cheerful giver. But in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7, he says you're to do this not grudgingly or under compulsion. Well, that ought to describe every area of service for the Christian. I remember one year going for a meeting. It was a place I had not been before. I didn't know anybody there. And when the preacher picked me up at the airport, I asked him about the church. I was trying to think about, well, what do they need that I could possibly give them? And he said, well, you need to know that half of the people in this church have a drug problem. And I said, does that arrow say go back to the airport? Can you take that? I said, what do you mean? He said, well, Sunday morning, it's going to look like half of them been drugged to church. Same thing Sunday night. The people know that of all the choices you have in your life, you have decided to follow Jesus. You didn't have to. You hadn't been drugged. You volunteered for service. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. Service is for volunteers. It's not pleasant at times to wear an apron. It's not convenient. It's messy. But who will follow Jesus serving him today? It's for whoever wishes. Service number two is for the selfless. There's no such thing as a selfish servant. It's for those who are selfless. Several years ago, the kids were younger, and we were all in the kitchen at the house, and it seemed like every sentence that the kids were saying started with the word I this, I want this, I need this. And finally, Melissa said, who's going to be selfless here? One of them said, I'll be selfless first. Apostles were arguing among themselves which one of us is going to be the greatest. Remember, James and John, give us these great positions of authority next to you, Jesus. We want to be right there. It was James and John, remember, who said when the Samaritans would not allow Jesus and the apostles to pass through, they said, Lord, you want us to rain down fire from heaven and consume them. That's a servant, isn't it? They really got the message. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. They want to burn them to a crisp. Maybe that's why they were called sons of thunder. They didn't get it. It wasn't until later in Paul's writings that he said in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 5, we preach not ourselves, but the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we're magnifying. Service is for the selfless. Their request in verse 37, give to us that we may sit on your right and on your left. Who will follow Jesus? Even the things that Jesus said, not just his daily life, but even the things Jesus said on the cross, those seven sayings indicate it wasn't about him. Think of it. He looked down and he saw his mother Mary. He's the firstborn. He's the oldest. We're not sure what happened to Joseph. He is not mentioned after the incident in the temple when Jesus was 12. Perhaps he had died. I used to think when Jesus said, "Woman, behold thy son," he was saying, "Mother, look at what they've done to me." But even that hour was not about him. He was saying, "Mother, behold John. Let him be your son from this day. And John, behold your mother." And the next verse says, "He took her into his household and cared for her." Jesus was thinking about his mother. To the thief who was hurling abuses at him, making fun of him with the other thief, he recognized something that the apostles still hadn't figured out. Jesus was going to establish a kingdom and his death would not prevent him. "Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Today, you shall be with me in paradise." That's why he came. "We saw thee not when lifted high amid that wild and savage crew, nor heard we that imploring cry, 'Forgive. They know not what they do.'" Service is for the selfless. Caring for the needs of others. In 3 John verse 9, there is a fellow by the name of Diotrephes who is described in several different ways when you look at the various translations. But it speaks against this idea of a selfless servant. Listen to how he's described. "Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them." How's that going to work in the local church? The King James has, "loves to have the preeminence." You ever known anybody like that? "Likes to put himself first," the ESV says. "Loves to be in charge." "Loves to be the leader." New Living Translation. Is that a bib or an apron? Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And that means we're going to put others before self. Several years ago now at the Southside Church in Pasadena, we were looking at what you have, the paperless hymnal, where you put the songs on the screen. And the elders decided that we would try this for a certain period of time and solicit feedback from the congregation. Now, it's not a matter of truth and error. It's not a scriptural issue. If we can read the information on the book, the same information is on the screen. So it's a matter of preference. And so they sought to hear, what is your preference? And honestly, I was surprised when the elders told us of who they heard from who liked it. The first people who spoke up were the older people. They said, "You know, these books are heavy. And it's hard to turn the pages. And by the time we get there, we're already going. And when we have to stand up to sing, we have to hold on to the pew and try to hold on to a book." They said, "It's helping our worship to be able to look on the screen." Second demographic that spoke up, mothers with young children.
They said, it's hard to wrestle a diaper bag, a kid. It's helping our worship. Now, there were those, as you can imagine, it was not their preference. They didn't like it. But you know what they said? If it's helping their worship, we're all in. If we want to, we'll still use the book. But if it's helping them worship God better, we will give preference to one another in honor. Service is for the selfless. It's not about you. It's not about me.
Who will follow Jesus and put on an apron serving Him today?
Number three, service is not just for volunteers and for the selfless. Number three, it's for the humble. Humility comes before honor, the wise man said.
And the servant must be humble. In verse 44, Jesus said, whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all.
Remember that Jesus existed in the form of God, but took on the form of a bondservant. The bondservant, just as the word suggests, is the one who's bound to another. The lowest class of a slave. And Jesus became a bondservant. He humbled himself to the point of death, even the death of the cross.
And Jesus, when he became a servant,
didn't pick and choose which ones he would serve. That'd be easy, wouldn't it? It's easy to serve those you love, those that you knew would serve you. But remember when he put a towel around his waist, went around to wash the feet of the disciples in John 13. He didn't pick and choose which ones. Peter was going to deny him that night. He washed his feet. Judas had already started the process of betrayal. He washed Judas' feet. The slave of all.
Oh, we'd drop everything
if Brother Dale needed something. If it's the wife of one of the elders, we'll be there. What if it's the person who's just barely hanging on? And they seem to always get themselves into some trouble.
And we think, oh, they'll never learn.
Here we go again. Jesus said, even the least of them. It's going to be on the final. He'll separate the nations as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, one on the right and one on the left. What is it that will be the defining marker that makes one righteous and one wicked? Well, it must have been some great act of obedience, some big thing that was evident to all. I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. Thirsty. You gave me drink. Prison, you visited me. Sick, you came to me.
Lord, when did we see you like that?
To the extent that you did it to my brothers and my sisters. You served me. You made it your mission. Or, I was hungry and you were too busy. I was sick and you had a lot of things going on and you intended one day to get around to doing that. But you never did. Depart from me. I never knew you. Service is for the humble who want to be like Jesus and become the slave of all. Who will follow Jesus? There was a Roman coin in the first century that had a picture of an ox. And on one side of the ox was an altar, and on the other side was a plow. And the inscription above said, "Ready for either." If the ox is to be sacrificed on the altar and give his life, he's ready. If he is to be hitched to the plow and to serve, he's ready. For James, he was the first of the apostles to die for preaching. Somebody who's thunderous and boisterous, you could see Herod saying, "I want him dead." And so James was sacrificed on the altar. John became the aged apostle. He lived into his 90s and was on the island of Patmos in exile when he wrote the book of Revelation. And so he was hitched to the plow and he served. But you see, James and John were ready for either. Who will follow Jesus this morning? Your service may take you in difficult roads, may require great things of you. Are you ready to follow Jesus? Our song will encourage you to make that decision, as our new brother Landon did last night. You can follow him who chose to follow Jesus. Come confess your faith and be baptized. Come back to him and ask for the prayers of your brothers and sisters if you need encouragement. Whatever you have in the gospel that can be taken care of right now, we encourage you to make it known as we stand up and as we sing.